Last time in Luke, we were hearing about what happens when the word is preached. It's like the seed being sown. Seeds now being sown here. But not all the seed will have a harvest. Some just goes on the path. The birds come and eat it and it's gone. It's wasted. Totally lost. That happens with some people when the word is preached. Sometimes it goes into the soil, but under the soil there's rocks. Can't get a root, can't go down, can't draw up the water to grow. Some people are like that. The word comes, but it has no root in their heart. They're not converted. They don't really love God. They have no real desire to please Him. There's no root. Nothing can really grow for a harvest. Sometimes the word is preached amongst the thorns. Jesus said, it's like the ground where there's thorns. The thorns grow up as the wheat grows up. The thorns choke the wheat. There's no fruit in the end. It's like a person, there's other desires in their life. There are other things they love more than the word. And they choke the word. They don't let it come up. But sometimes there's good soil, there's a good heart, and there's a good harvest. So the difference isn't in the word. The same word is preached to everybody. But one person believes it, they hold on to it, and they have fruit for eternal life. Others, not so. Which one are you? Well, Jesus continues to talk about preaching of God's word. The preaching, it's not something we just chose because we like it. It's something we must do because of what Jesus himself taught. It needs to be a conviction out of his mouth itself. Start in verse 16. And Jesus says to let the light shine. There's three lessons we have from what he says today. The first is to let the light shine. Why does God send his word out? Well, why do you light a lamp in the evening in your house if you don't have electricity? Why do you light a lamp in the evening? Is it so that you can then hide it in a corner and put lots of things on top of it? Is it so that you can place it under the bed where it can't be seen? Do you cover it with a jar so that it's hidden? No, you light it so that it can light up the whole house. You put it in the center of the house. Maybe you can hang it, or maybe you put it on the table in the middle. You put it there so it can send out light into the whole household. That's why God gives his word, so that the light can shine out. He puts a light in the hearts and lives of his people, so that then the whole house, so his whole creation, can be full of light. God sends out his word so it can give light. Firstly, then, you must become light. There needs to be a true light in your life. It needs to shine in you so that you can become light in the Lord. First, you need to be converted. The old dark heart needs to be, well, the darkness needs to be chased out. Light and truth need to come into your mind, into your heart, into your soul. You need to confess that you're a sinner and to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. The light has to bring you to repentance. When the light comes into your life, it shines. You see all the dark deeds and say, God, I've been a sinner. My life has been full of darkness. I've walked in darkness. I've gone my own ways. I've spoken selfish words. I've spoken angry words. I've broken your laws. I've cheated and I've stolen. I've not loved my neighbor like I loved myself. I've not loved you, God, with my whole heart. My life's been a light of darkness. But now I'm repenting. I'm turning again to you, O God. I want my life to be yours. When the light comes into your life, it shows you Jesus Christ. Remember what Jesus said? He said, I am the light of the world. Whoever believes in me shall not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. God's word points you to the cross of Jesus. That's where sin can be taken away. All those deeds of darkness, all those words of darkness, all those thoughts of darkness, be washed away by his precious blood on the cross. He then comes into your life and he comes and lives with you. He comes and lives with you by the Holy Spirit so that now you can be light. That light needs to then shine out to others. We don't preach the word just so that we can learn about an old book. We're not preaching the word just to give us knowledge in our heads. It's not just to entertain us or because we like talking, so that blessing can come to your husband or wife, so that blessing can come to your children or your parents, so that blessing can come to your neighbors, so that blessing can be in the place that you work or you go to school or college. It's a great responsibility. If God himself has lit a light, what are you going to do with it? You're in God's world, like God's household. A man lights a lamp and he gives it to his servant. What are you going to do with that light? You're going to light up the house or you're going to hide it? Jesus says if you've been given much, then he expects much from you. Once you've been taught much and shown the light, much must be done with it. There's so much darkness. So many people are walking in darkness. So many don't know the truth. So many are just lost. They're heading to hell without Jesus as their savior. If God has lit a light, what are you doing with that light? So many people, they don't know that Jesus is the King of the nations. They don't know that God lifted him up to be the Lord of all. They don't know he's coming again to make everything new. They don't know that he died for sins on the cross and that they can be forgiven. There's many needy people in this town, many who have no food, many who are widows and nobody cares for them, many who have been rejected, but God has lit a light. Nobody lights a lamp and just hides it, says Jesus, or puts it under their bed. He puts it on a stand so that those who come in can see the light. Be a terrible thing to just say, oh, let me just go to heaven on my own. Let me just make sure that I am safe. Let me make sure that I'm a saved person. A selfish thing to say. How did you ever hear of Jesus? Somebody brought the light to you. Somebody lifted up that lamp so now you could see. And now lift up that lamp also for others. By your example, by your words, by your life, let the light shine. Now Jesus says a second thing in 17 and 18. So that was the first, let the light shine. 17 and 18, he says, be careful how you listen. Listen with care. How does God save and change people? What does he use? He uses his word. So be careful how you listen. Suppose you went on a long journey into the interior. You went into the country on a long, long journey. And suppose that you'd been given some maps to show you the way. What if you pay no attention to those maps? What if you just say, oh, let me use these to light my fire. I need to cook some food. Where's some fire lighter? Oh, I'll use these maps. What will you do then if you neglect the map? But there's another person. He studies the map very well. He knows where the rivers are. He knows where the valleys are. He knows where the dangers are. He knows the safe road. He follows the map carefully. He reaches his destination and he's safe. Well, the Word of God is a map. The Word of God is a guide to salvation and eternal life in Christ. But some people are worse after they hear preaching. Some people, after the Word comes to them, they're in a worse position than they began. Verse 18 warns us. Jesus says that whoever has will be given more. But listen to this. Whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has, will be taken from him. There's some hear the Word, and they listen in a very bad way. They take no care to get it into their hearts. They make no effort to let the Word judge them and to let it teach them so that they repent and turn again to Christ. And God then takes away from them even the understanding that they have, because he judges them for their bad attitude to his Word. See, we're not just listening the Word and weighing it up and judging it, but God's Word is examining us, weighing us up. It's judging us. And so that's why Jesus said, consider carefully how you listen. What difference does it make when you hear the Word week by week? What do you then do with it? How do you weigh it up and consider it and weigh up your life? Consider your life. What changes then come? The sun shines down, and on the ground it dries it out and makes it hard. It bakes it hard. But the same sun shines in other parts of the world where there's the snow and the ice, and it melts the snow and it melts the ice so that they run away. The same Word comes to different people. Some, it melts their hearts and it makes them soft and tender before Father God. Others, it comes down and it bakes their hearts hard because they resist it. They close their hearts against it and they're left worse than they began. Every time the Word of God comes, it leaves us nearer to heaven or further away. How is it for you? Jesus said, take heed, be careful, watch out. Look closely at how you listen to God's Word. What does it mean to listen rightly? What must we do to listen rightly? You must listen with faith. You must believe God's words. You must accept them. As if you consider them, you must know that you will find them as true, that they can be tested and found to be true. Don't sit as one to scoff at God's word or to mock it or to say, that's too hard, that's too much, that's impossible, oh, we can't believe those things. But listen with a humble heart before God. Know that he's made you and that he will judge you. So listen with faith to his word. Listen with godly fear, that is, with a respect for God. Listen with reverence for God. Know that this is Almighty God who made the heavens and the earth. Almighty God who stretched out the skies and placed the sun in its position. God who made everything that you see, hear or touch. Listen knowing that he is holy, that he makes no compromise with sin, that he is just and upright. Listen with respect for God himself. If a man came in and handed us a paper and I said, it's a message from the cabinet and the president and the prime minister, and we'd all say, what? Let me listen. God is unseen, and so people they forget him. But his glory is all around us. So surely we should listen with all of our hearts. Listen with faith. Listen with godly fear. Listen with prayer. Take what you hear and pray about it when you go home. Pray about it even in your heart as you hear it. Lord, help me. Lord, what should I do about this? What should I change? What are you saying to me? What are you telling me about my life? What are you telling me about what I can do now? Listen with a spirit of prayer. Lord, show me the things that I'm doing wrong. Make me aware. Take away the dullness and the slowness of my mind. Stir me up by your spirit. How do you listen to God's word? Jesus says that God's word searches us out. We can't hide from it. That's verse 17. He says there's nothing hidden that will not be disclosed, that is revealed. Nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out into the open. You can't hide from the light. God's truth will search out every person as it's preached, and on the day of judgment, God will judge us by his word. So we might as well bring it out now. There's no point keeping your sins hidden. There's no point pretending. No point being a fake Christian or a Christian only in the name. Because God's word in the proper time will reveal everything and open everything up before the whole world. So why not let it search you out now and repent? Confess it to him and then change it. Live in the light. Yes, the people of darkness, the unbelievers, they have to do what they do at night because they're ashamed of it. Even if they won't say so, they're ashamed. Evil deeds are done in darkness and at night. But the people of God, they can do everything they do openly because they have nothing to be ashamed of if they've let the word search them out. So Jesus says, listen carefully. First said, let that light shine. Then he said, listen carefully. In verses 19, 20, 21, he gives a great encouragement to you if you believe. He tells you there are amazing blessings for those who obey. Those who obey Jesus, they are his family. Verse 21. My mother and brothers are those who hear God's word and put it into practice. He takes them as his very own. They're adopted into the family of God. A Christian calls God Father. And Jesus is his elder brother, the firstborn in the family. And they're loved by the Father. They're loved by Jesus. And they become brethren with all the people of God. They're closer than even Jesus' flesh and blood family were. As we read at verse 19, at this time Mary came, and the half-brothers that he had, those who were born of both Mary and Joseph, they came and they called for him. And there was a very great crowd at this time. That's in verse 4. Many people were around him. His mother and brother came and they wanted to see him. And a message managed to get through that, Jesus, your mother's here, your brother's here. Why don't you go and speak to them? But Jesus said, I can't, because I'm with those who are hungry for the word of God. I'm with those who love the heavenly Father. I'm doing the work of the heavenly Father. I can't leave that, even to go and see my flesh and blood, because these ones have now become closer to me, those who hear God's word, and they do it. Imagine that. The Son of God says, I'm your brother, I'm your mother, I'm your sister, I'm your father. I'm the nearest relative to you, if you're one of those who keeps my commandments. That blessing's only for the obedient. Only for those who take care and who do. Verse 21, those who hear God's word and put it into practice. Not enough just to hear. They've got to be put into practice, that the results are seen in your life for the obedient. Jesus said in another place, those who love me keep my commandments. The one who doesn't love him is the one who doesn't keep his commandment. Jesus wouldn't let anything interrupt him or stop him from showing his care and love to those who obey. The Bible never tells us to worship Mary. It never tells us to pray to Mary. The Roman Catholic Church has a teaching. It says you can pray to Mary, and that Mary will hear your prayers and bring them to her son. Because Mary, they say, was so close to her son that she has a special influence, a special access to him. But when we read the times when Mary was alive, we never read such a thing. And his mother comes and says, I want to speak to him. Jesus says, I can't now. These ones are closer to me. These who hear my words and obey. The way to have power with God in prayer is to hear his word and obey it. The way to be a special one in the courts of heaven is to keep his laws and decrees and commandments. And that brings you closer than Mary ever was, even through being the one who carried him, even from having him in her womb for those months and raising him up for those years. Yet you're nearer to God through the act of hearing his word and carefully obeying it. But Jesus gives us a word here to tell us that the heavenly family has to come first. He's given us an example. Now, he didn't dishonor his mother. Find in the gospel, he took care of her very well, even when he was on the cross. He made sure that she would be cared for, and he gave her to the beloved disciple to look after her when she was a widow. But Jesus never showed any disrespect to his mother. But the heavenly family had to come first. If all your clan comes, if all the fathers and the uncles and the cousins come and they tell you to do a thing which disobeys God's word, then Jesus says, you've got to say no. But don't be afraid, because I am with you. And I will be your mother, your brother, your uncle, your aunt, your cousin, your brother and your sister. And the church family should be all those things to you. Now, we don't dishonor our earthly families, but the family of God will last forever. The earthly family won't. It won't be husband and wife in the new world. It won't be father and son in the new world. But it'll still be brother and sister with those who believe. So that's why the church family has to come first. That's why on Sunday, Your family say, we're having a family meeting, it's at 10 o'clock in the morning. And you say, I'm so sorry. I can't be doing that. I have the church family is already meeting at that time. Because the church family will last forever when the other families are gone and fallen away. When you arrange your family gatherings, don't make it at a time that keeps people away from the church family. The church family lasts forever. On God's day, on the Lord's day, make sure you're with God's people. Make sure you're there. Don't say, oh, I need to go and do some business so that I can look after my house. I need to go and look for some work so I can take care of my children. But Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God. The other things will be added to you. But look to the heavenly family, look to the church family, just as Jesus set as an example. He said, I'm going to put you first. You people who love me and obey me, I'm going to put you first above all. And so we should do the same. Jesus shed even his blood for those who repent and follow him He gave up his body to the death of the cross. The wrath of God was poured out upon him. And he did that so that he could call us brother and sister. He couldn't do that when our sin was still with us. He couldn't welcome sin into his family. But to take away that sin, he went to Calvary and he was under the curse and judgment of God there. That's how much he's dedicated and committed to his people. You don't lose anything by following the word of God. You gain everything. Let the light shine. Listen with care and know that you are loved by Jesus himself.